Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
Greetings and welcome to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, lead storyteller and head family historian at the Merry Farms of My Merry Christmas, our little Christmas community that's now 16 years old as a forum and, well, 29 years old as a website and a merry virtual effort online. This episode of the Merry Little Podcast is brought to you by TrackingSanta.net, an extension of the oldest Santa tracker online known as SantaUpdate.com. TrackingSanta.net is all about the map. And this year, for the first time ever, there's a new app coming out for your Android phone called Tracking Santa. What else? If you need Santa on the go this Christmas Eve, you'll want to download the Tracking Santa app. It's commercial-free, family-friendly, and child-safe, as are all of our Santa resources. Well, if you've listened to the Merry Little Podcast much, you know that I tend to blend the research I do of Christmas sometimes with the research that I do of my family history. They say that the two most prevalent internet hobbies are porn and family history. And I have no hesitation in admitting that I have been a rabid family historian now for decades. On my father's side, I have a proud, classic American family history, dating back to the Mayflower and beyond, to Old World England and Denmark. I have family that I've found during every key point in American history and their history, well, it's also Christmas history. The research of one has aided in the research of others, and I just love it. On my mother's side is a less defined heritage, one very complicated by both the drama of American wars and civil wars, and also by a late 19th century immigrant family who brought a different kind of Christmas with them from the old world. Well, now every family historian will tell you that their story would make a whopper of a movie, and it's absolutely true. My love of family history extends to members of my family in my neighborhood who are also exploring their own history. I try to help them start the great project of finding their roots. It's a very daunting task and one that only gets bigger with the more that you discover. It's natural then to wonder as you discover your roots just what things were like for them versus how things are for you now. For example, in researching my family, I found a branch of the family living in Massachusetts in the 1770s that were loyalists. Now, this is fascinating to me because the little tiny town that they lived in was on the road between Boston and Albany, and a relative's tavern in that little town was frequently a meeting place on the road for the military of both sides of the conflict. As I contemplated this, I did a little more digging, and I found out why my family there were loyalists. The patriarch of the family was clerk of the Church of England in that community, and you just couldn't be a colonial rebel if you were a figure in the church, whose head, of course, was the King of England. So it came as no surprise to me that one of my great-grandfathers got himself hauled in front of a committee and lambasted not only for being a loyalist, but for trying to convince others in the family tavern, of course, that fighting the colonies, or for the colonies, rather, was treason. For this crime, he was quite nearly strung up. He was detained and then fined and then made to enlist in the militia, where, of course, he had to fight for the colonies, which he did for about 3 months. After the war was over, he lit out to Canada, where that branch of the family is still flourishing today. That story makes me laugh because it's quite the family trait to not keep our mouths shut when it comes to politics. But it is likewise very instructive and even endearing in a way to get to know our kindred dead through their stories. And that brings me back to Christmas. Have we any idea of what our Christmas stories mean to our family history? And have we saved those stories so that they could be told to later generations? I would love to know the Christmas stories of my loyalist ancestors. Well, now, we all know that we should do this. In a year like 2020, we are learning far too much how when we lose someone we love, We lose intangibles, such as their stories and their experiences and their perspectives and their personalities, if we don't do more than just collecting a few pictures or saving some letters or social media posts. So this episode of the Merry Little Podcast is both presented for your review, but also for a selfish concern, I guess. I'm creating here a record for my family of some great family Christmas memories. I know part of my personal record that I will someday leave behind will be all these podcast episodes that I've recorded. They contain my voice, my interest, and even some of my passions. And I want my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to have them for all of those reasons and more. Now, I would just preface this before I begin with just one thing. The stories you are about to hear are just the stuff of living. I think they are completely normal, and I'm certain with some of this, the response that will be triggered will be, yep, I can relate. That happened to me too. We're just regular people, and we experience just the same magic stuff of Christmas that everybody else does. I've decided to share three Christmas memories that I think are completely normal, and yet each of them come from a different point of view. First will be the story of my parents' first Christmas together, then a memory I have of Christmas as a child in their home, and then a Christmas memory or two I have as a parent, specifically as a dad. After all, the story of my Merry Christmas, and thus of the Merry Forums and the Merry Little Podcast, is a family story. Great stories of Christmas always begin with family. That's new Christmas music from Luke McMaster from his album just released titled Christmas Present. It's a fun album that you can check out at lukemcmaster.com. The first thing to know about my mom and dad is that they were high school sweethearts and married when they were quite young. Mom was 17 and my dad was 18. There's a story of worlds colliding. The adage that opposites attract could not be more true than it is with my parents. My dad came from a large, boisterous, dynamic family that was steeped in Christmas and religious tradition. And my mother was an only child in a broken family that had no church and never celebrated a Christmas in their life. In fact, without getting too personal, Christmas for my mother as a child and as a teen was a time of misery. She hated Christmas. She loathed that time of the year because it was not, for them, a time for children. It was a time for adults to party, and she was left to deal with the aftermath. So when she and Dad married, and my older brother came along just before their first Christmas together in 1960, neither of them knew what to expect or even really what to do. They were living, of course, for the first time ever, 1,000 miles away from their California upbringing while enduring the first semester of college. Their first year married was their first time ever away from home. My dad went to school and worked as much as he could. Being a college town, the best job he could find at the time was as an usher at a movie theater. And how much do you hear about that kind of job anymore? They were in a tiny student housing apartment complex in Provo, Utah, dealing with real cold and real snow for the first time, and they had to figure out how Christmas was going to work for them. Now, my mother passed away 5 years ago. This will be our 5th Christmas this year without her. My dad and I were just conversing the other day about how Mom loved this time of year and how she loved decorating for Christmas. In fact, my memories of my mom are nothing but magic when I think of my childhood. Mom just made it happen. But it didn't start out that way. Of course, at the time, she was dealing with a new baby, being away from her home and not having had Christmas in her life before. She didn't know what to do that year. She had never decorated for Christmas, let alone go out and, you know, get one. Well, Dad told me he was able to get a small Christmas tree, I think, as a donation because they were so broke. He went to a local drugstore and bought a few little necessities. I think he said he had about $7 to spend that Christmas, and he stretched it as far as he could. In fact, he told me he likely spent more on wrapping paper for it all than he did on the little stuff that he bought. He got our favorite candy bar and some bobby pins, a package of rubber pants for the baby, a box of crackers, and some little odds and ends. And he even bought her a cheap pair of socks and wrapped them each separately in their own little box. Unwrapped, he had to admit that it all looked kind of pathetic, but wrapped up, little things in large boxes stuffed with newspapers, well, it looked pretty doggone festive. But then came the hard part, getting them under the tree. Mom had no clue what he was up to, and he didn't want her to suspect anything. He wanted to surprise her. He just wanted Santa to come and for her to be surprised. And what he did is no surprise to me at all. He went into the bathroom, turned on the shower. And while he was, quote-unquote, showering, he slipped out the tiny bathroom window, barefoot in the snow, and in a t-shirt and trousers only, and quickly went to the car and retrieved what he had wrapped. He went to another window that he had cracked open near the Christmas tree, and from outside he put all the presents under the tree. All this time, my mom was supposedly in the bedroom with the baby. Now, for me, here comes the good part of the story. Mom and Dad had a little dog given to them as a wedding present from my grandmother. And this little dog, who never knew that she was not human, heard or sensed Dad outside and went to the window and started barking. Mother told me that she got up to look at what the dog was fussing about, and she saw my dad outside in his bare feet and his t-shirt, and she thought he was the best-looking Santa she had ever seen. She told me that she rushed back to the bedroom and put a pillow over her face to keep from laughing out loud. Well, it's a classic story of Christmas love on both sides. Neither knew what the other knew, and it ended up being the Christmas that would influence Christmas for all of us growing up. What you're hearing is Christmas music from the 1960s from Herb Alpert, a tradition in my house that always played, especially on Christmas Eve. Now, because you know the story of my parents, you'll understand this Christmas story of a great Christmas Eve that we had when I was about 7. I'm the middle of 5 kids, an older brother and sister, and a younger brother and sister. Our Christmas Eves followed a pretty set pattern. There would be great food, games, and at the end of the night, we would open one present, and it would always be new matching pajamas. Then we'd read A Visit from St. Nicholas, and then we'd read the second chapter of Luke, and then we'd head off to bed to await the magic of Santa. I roomed with my 2 brothers year-round. Our room, I would tell you, was a boys' sanctuary. My mother hated going in there because we were boys and we lived like boys. We were active and we were messy. But at night, our room was a magical place sometimes. We had all kinds of night games we would play because invariably we went to bed early but did not sleep. And never was this more true than on Christmas Eve, and I think my parents knew it. My dad tried to help by having a small radio in our room tuned to KWIN in Lodi, California. On Christmas Eve, they played music, and every hour a guy would announce how far Santa was from Lodi. We stayed up listening to him get closer and closer to the house. Now, we had bunk beds, me on top and my big brother on the bottom, because, well, he was the big brother. We would have thumb fights and arm wrestling. Mom could hear us get out of bed even if she was 100 miles away, so our games always had to be very quiet, but we messed around for hours, especially on Christmas Eve. And on this particular Christmas Eve, we were up until the guy on the radio said Santa was in town. It was at this critical moment that we started hearing sounds. From outside, we heard kind of a screech, and then a thump, and then a grunting. One grunt came from my dad, we could tell just by hearing it. But the other grunt, well, we didn't really recognize who it was. And in our minds, it could only be one person. It had to be Santa. And this went on for a while. Eek, thump, grunt. Then another screech, and then another thump, and then another grunt. And then all of a sudden, inexplicably, the vacuum cleaner went on. Well, you have to understand, this was the 1970s. We had shag carpet. And my mother not only, you know, used the vacuum to clean the carpet, but also to get it to look the right way. The vacuum left marks, and if she wanted it to be uniform, it was kind of a 70s OCD thing, I guess you could call it, she would vacuum a lot, or she would use what we called a carpet rake, if you can believe that, to get the same effect, to get the carpet to lay all in the same direction. It was a thing for my mom. But my mom was vacuuming, not anything to do with the carpet on this Christmas Eve. Somehow we knew she was in cahoots with Santa, who clearly had to be the other guy grunting that we heard with Dad somehow outside on the sidewalk. Well, our bedroom was on the side of the house. We couldn't see what was going on out front. Not that we didn't try, though. My brother, always the more adventurous one, got out of bed. He opened up the window, and he was outside of it halfway with his body, nearly to the top of the fence. When my mother opened the door, snapped her fingers, and said, "You, close the window, get back in bed." And I don't know how she did that. And she did that all the time. I was right there. I never heard a sound. And somehow she heard us and she caught us. Anyway, for the next 15 minutes or so, we heard a lot of grunting and thumping and vacuuming. We didn't understand it until the morning when we saw this brand new antique torture device known as a piano that had some really rusty wheels on it. And it was something I would sit at for the next 3 years in a vain attempt to get me to develop some musical ability. And it wasn't really until years later that I put that Christmas Eve all together. We were helping my neighbor move a dead vehicle, and I heard that grunt again. Now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Many of you already know the story of how My Merry Christmas began with the Santa updates back in 1991. If you don't know that story, you can read it in the About section of the website at MyMerryChristmas.com. What I'm about to tell you is a follow-up to that story, and it's one of my personal all-time favorite Christmas memories. When the movie The Santa Claus with Tim Allen came out in 1994, my eldest daughter Aubrey was then about 8 years old, and she was starting to get bullied a bit at school because of her belief in Santa Claus. And on the day that we went to see the movie on the drive over there, Aubrey was talking about that, and she asked the question that every parent dreads. Dad, is Santa Claus real or not? Well, I didn't want to answer her directly at that particular moment because I wanted her to enjoy the movie. We hadn't seen it yet, and this was a long-planned event, and I didn't want the fun of what was about to happen to be spoiled by a real-life discussion about hard things. So I asked, or rather, I kind of answered her questions in a roundabout way and redirected the conversation as best I could. Now, you have to understand, Aubrey was 5 when I met her and became her dad. She was the only 5-year-old in the world that I knew who didn't know the tradition of Santa Claus, so the introduction of the Santa updates had gone far in changing her perspectives and adding to her celebration of Christmas in a good way. The Santa updates in those years spoke directly to her. The very first update that she received from the North Pole introduced a character by the name of Elf Bernard, the head of Santa's workshop. And he is the key to this story. Well, you've all seen the Santa Claus. You know how the story and the look and the feel of the movie just kind of sucks you in, and it's very engaging. And Aubrey was most definitely invested in it. The theater was packed, as you can imagine, on a Saturday in November. Then came the part of the movie where Bernard, the head elf, is introduced. And Aubrey shot up out of her chair, and she pointed at the screen in front of all those people. Dad, that's him! That's Bernard! Well, I knew right then, and I had her for at least a couple more years. I knew there would be a discussion on the way home, and it wouldn't be about whether or not Santa Claus is real. Now, we later found out, years later, of course, after Aubrey's 6 siblings came along, and she had taught each one of them how to track Santa Claus and all about the Santa updates, that the name Aubrey means ruler of elves. The best part of that story, for me now, is very personal. Aubrey, you see, is now 34 years old, and after years of trial, she finally welcomed her first child into the world 6 weeks ago. And like that, a new Santa tracker in the family is born. Thank you. That song is one of the newest creations of the great Jim Brickman from his newest album of 2020, and you can find it at jimbrickman.com. Well, what are your family stories of Christmas? I guarantee you that the stories you have are just as good or better than these memories I've shared here with you today. And I further guarantee that they will mean more to your family if you will just take your phone, hit record, and save those memories for sharing in the years ahead when you're not around. You will never regret it. Thanks for joining us here at the Merry Little Podcast, and we invite you to come share your stories and more with the community online at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com. And if you enjoyed this episode of the Merry Little Podcast, we'd appreciate a review left for us at our website or at ChristmasPodcast.com or wherever it is that you listen to us in the great big world of podcast apps that are out there. For all of us at My Merry Christmas, this is Jeff Westover, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.